Blog Talk Radio.
Yavaraka Hayave. Daish Munaraka Ya Eyave. Panab Al Khal Vakunaha. Yave. Panab Al Khal Vayashim Lachashlo. May Yah bless you and keep you. May His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May Yah lift up His continuous upon you and give you peace.
Now you know I've been through a lot of sad things in my past. I wish I never did, but you give me answers. I want to praise your name. So
hallelujah, and welcome to Talk, Teach, and Testify Ministries. I am your Aki, your brother in Yah. I am the Obadiah-U, the humble servant of Yah. Good evening, everyone. Welcome. And you just heard the Hebrew Israelite song. I love that song. That his name is Yono, and that is the Hebraic Yisrael Tahilia, or the Hebrew Israelite song. Very powerful. I love that song. I might have to play that again after the end of service. I love that song right there. Hallelujah. I'm glad that you are here by divine appointment. It is now 8:05 p.m. Today's date is the 12th of January, 2014, according to the man-made calendar of Pope Gregory the 13th, or the Gregorian calendar. And today is also the 12th day of Shavuot in the year 5774. Hallelujah. So we just got a little more ways to go, and we will be into a new Hebraic calendar year. And that is when everything is going to start taking place in the spirit realm of Yah. Hallelujah. All righty. Let's see if we can get some sound going on. Okay, are y'all able to hear me? Let me know if you can hear me on this evening. I'm just trying to see if y'all can hear me. Okay, thank you very much, Sister Joan, for letting me know that she can hear me loud and clear. Alrighty, hallelujah. Alrighty, just doing mic check, 1, 2, 1, 2. Okay. Alrighty, just trying to... there's a couple of people that, well, one person in particular that could not hear me. Please check your speakers, you know, your speaker settings. I am on the air live. Okie doke. We had a very powerful testimony to tell you. Someone had came in to the Kingdom Harvest for services. And what has happened was that when she came in, she walked in not able to see. So she was blind physically, okay? But she was led by the Spirit of Yah and under the unction of the Holy Ghost to come into the sanctuary. And when she walked into the sanctuary, she was able to, hallelujah, she was able to see. Hallelujah. So that is so powerful, how people can walk into an atmosphere and can receive the anointing of the Most High Yah. So please continue to keep the Kingdom Harvest in your prayers. 2 weeks, well, it looks like 12 days now from this evening, we will be having our first annual Firestarters Harvest Prayer Revival. That's going to be here at the Kingdom Harvest. The address is 312 South Tennessee Street. That is in Cartersville, Georgia. The zip code is 30120. A lot of people from all over the country is coming. Apostle Tina Edwards from the New Dimensions International Ministries will be here from Memphis, Tennessee. Also, my dear brother, younger brother, and Yah, Apostle Mark Kendrick, him and his congregation will be here from the Divine Believers of Faith Ministries in East Point. Thank you, Holy Ghost. In College Park, Georgia, he will be here as well. We also have Apostle William Kelly. He will be in, him and his congregation. They will be in from Charlotte, North Carolina. So catch the revelation here. The address that is here at the Fellowship Center is 312 South Tennessee Street. And watch this. The same address, the same numbers, 312, was the same numbers that was at the Azusa Street Revival. They had their revival at 312 Azusa Street in downtown Los Angeles. Hallelujah. So we are looking for one of those type of moves of Yah, a Pentecostal move that's going to be taking place there. Hallelujah. So please come and join us. And thank you. And we're going to have the Hebraic teaching starting at 9 o'clock on the Shabbat. That will be on January 25th. I will be doing the Hebraic teachings so that way you can receive a divine revelation of what is in the word of Yah. A lot of people read it in English and it is what it is, but no, you must receive a divine revelation. And the Hebraic teachings, the Hebraic language, it opens up into a deeper revelation of his word. So I will be doing that teaching. We will have prayer and soaking. That's going to be around 2 o'clock or 3 o'clock in the afternoon on that Shabbat. And then we're going to have evening service. So we're just going to go on in into the presence of Yah. It's going to be very powerful. Then on Sunday, we're going to go ahead and wrap it on up. We're going to have morning service at 11:30 and then another revival, the final one. That's going to be at 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So that is on January 25th and 26th of 2014. Please mark it on your calendars. Come and see us at the Kingdom Harvest. Also, my dear sisters, they are coming in from, hallelujah, they are coming in from Florida, from Tampa and Orlando, Florida, respectively. So I am very excited for this mighty move of Yah. And we invite many of you who are living in the Atlanta area and surrounding areas, come and join us here at the Kingdom Harvest. We're going to have a move like never before. Hallelujah. So continue to pray for my strength in Yah through my time of consecration and my sabbatical that I'm going through. Please keep me lifted up. Hallelujah. So I'm just looking for a great move in 2014 to take place. It's the year of the harvest. Hallelujah. All righty. Alrighty, just a couple of more of announcements that I had to bring forth. Tomorrow morning, okay, tomorrow morning, if Yah is willing, at 10 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time, 9 o'clock a.m. Central Standard Time, your brother will be speaking a word of encouragement into your spirit. The title of it is called We Are In Right Now Faith. So now it is time to launch into your destiny. Hallelujah. For 2014, a lot of people are talking about it, but they need to be about it. It is time for you to launch into your ministry. Now is the time. Turn on that right now faith and jump into it. Hallelujah. So that will be on tomorrow morning. Hallelujah, 10 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Then on Tuesday at 10 o'clock a.m., we're going to be doing a Kingdom Biblical study. We're going to be dealing with the epidemic and the illness of the soul tie. What are soul ties and how are they becoming an epidemic in the congregation? And how to eliminate a soul tie. So we're going to be doing a two-part series on that, looking into depth at the soul tie and also doing, you know, just doing an in-depth study, okay? Because there are a lot of people who think that you have to touch somebody physically to get a soul tie. That is not necessarily so. So I just don't want to get into it that deep, but we need to deal with the epidemic and the resolution of the soul tie. Okay, then I will also be speaking later on in the week about the reprobate mind. How do you know when somebody has been turned over to a reprobate mind? Have you evaluated yourself to see if you are turned over to a reprobate mind? And we're going to look at the symptoms. You can look at that in Romans chapter 1, and we're going to break it down even further. What is a reprobate mind? So these are the studies that we're going to be doing this week on Talk, Teach, and Testify Ministries. Please, if you know somebody that would like to listen in, share the information, share the intel, give them the telephone number for them to call in if they like to come in and listen to the teachings. These particular teachings, they are for you, hallelujah, as they are for me. Okay, so I'm learning just as well as you are. The word is like a double-edged sword, so it's cutting me and you simultaneously. Hallelujah. And I'm telling you, these are topics that needs to be discussed in the congregation. and you have these preachers and teachers that tiptoe around these things, and they don't understand why these soul ties are happening within their congregation. And as well as people who are walking around with a reprobated mind inside of their congregation. So, you know, go ahead, share the information. Let people know. Those people who you know through other people on Facebook, tell them to go onto Talk, Teach, and Testify Ministries. And then over there, they can click on a particular topic that they would like. I have them recorded from 2 years all the way up to now, so they can go ahead and listen to them. And also, they can be updated as to what particular teachings that will be happening on that particular day or that morning. I try to post them at least 6 hours ahead of schedule. Sometimes it might be like a couple of hours when I share the information with other people, but I try to give people adequate time for them to listen to the teachings. Hallelujah. Those of you who would like to sow a seed, if you're led by the Spirit of Yah to do that, first of all, we bless you and we thank you so much for your encouraging words, for, you know, maybe your financial seed or whatever the case may be. Everything that I take in from you, I praise Yah for you and I thank you. You can click on to Talk, Teach, and Testify Ministries on your Facebook page. And then there is a link for you to click on. It's very safe. It's a secure line. It is through wepay.com. And you can sow your seed by check or by credit card. Hallelujah. So it's only if you're led by the Spirit of Yah. Hallelujah. Okay. That is all the announcements that I have. Let's go into what we talked about in part one, okay, about the difference between the seer and the prophet. Okay, then after that, we're going to talk a little bit more about the example of the seer. Remember, we talked about that with Yehemiah-u or Jeremiah, and we're going to be looking at the experiences or the difference between a prophet and a seer. I pray that this particular teaching will edify your spirit and your soul. Okay, here we go. We talked about the difference between the Raha, which is spelled R-A-A-H, which is the seer, and the Nevi, or the Nebe, which is the prophet, which is spelled N-E, or you can spell it N-A-V-I, or N-A-B, as in boy, B-I. With the seer, it means what? To be selected, to show oneself, to be seen, to show. You must see things from a visual perception. And another word for seer would be rohe, which is a seer, a rebel, like somebody who has a vision, a visionary. Those are Strong Concordance numbers 7200 and 7203. Okay, those of you who look under the Strong Concordance, H7200 and 7203. Okay, so we know what a seer. A seer must receive a communication from Yah with a possible focus. The focus must have a visual component. That's what the seer does. Okay. Another Hebrew word for seer would be koze, which is K-H-O-Z-E-H. Is koze. Okay. Hebrew Strong Concordance number 2374. Okay. So they must have a visual communication from Yah. They must be able to gaze or to have visions from the Father. Now, last thing that I said last on the telecast was that, with part one, was that all seers are prophets, but all prophets are not exactly seers. We're going to break that down on this evening because people don't understand that the seer is very needed and necessary for the body of believers. And the pastor, he feels that he can see everything. There are some things that he cannot see in the spirit realm, and there should be prophets and seers in position to see what is going on in the spirit realm of Yah. Hallelujah. Okay, I'm praising Yah that you are able to receive that. Okay, the prophet is one who speaks as a prophet, the Nevi or the Nabah. The prophecy must have its focus on A, encouraging, or B, restoring covenant faithfulness. Let's bring that back. A true prophecy from Yah has its focus on encouraging or restoring covenant faithfulness in the Father. So when we see too many people saying the Father told me to tell you, give me $1,000 and you're going to get $1,000,000. Come on, somebody. That's that microwave anointing. That is that the price is right type of anointing. They become, if you will, psychics or magicians or illusionists. And that is not of the Father. Okay. When you're teaching the prosperity, let's get money, get cars, get houses, ministry to everybody, something don't smell right. Okay. So the prophecy from the Father, it is the telling of future events. This tells us this is the spirit of what? Of prophecy. This is the spirit of the prophetic. The telling of future events that encourages obedience, or it warns you against disobedience. You don't see a lot of people prophesying, telling you need to stop doing what you're doing. Okay, so that needs to be done in the house of Yah, or even when they're speaking in the prophetic. Okay, whenever they saw a particular prophet, especially the kings back in the old covenant, when they saw a prophet or a seer walk into their palace, they knew it was probably some bad news that they was going to get, or some, you better straighten up or ship out. So that is operating in the prophetic. The spirit of knowledge is what you can see in a person's past life. Like, you may be able to see what I did 5 years ago, and what a lot of undertrained prophets are doing. They could see your past and they take it as being a spirit of prophecy. And then they try to have you to go what? Back into condemnation. But there's therefore now no condemnation to those who are in the Word, who walk not after the after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Okay? So when we're talking about the prophet must be able, okay, to encourage you or to restore covenant faithfulness. They must be able to tell you something that only you and the Father know. Now, if they can't do that, 9 times out of 10, you might want to step back a little bit. Okay. And you don't have to receive every prophetic word that comes out of somebody. You do have some people who operate in the what? In the prophetic, and some in the pathetic. Okay, because some people's prophecies are just flat out pathetic. Okay, Hebrew Strong Concordance number 5197 is nataf. That means to pour down or to drip, the words that drip down from heaven upon that particular prophet. And then they're able to preach, or they're able to prophesy. Hallelujah. So I will be doing a teaching at the end of the week about the nataf, which is the dripping, the oozing, hallelujah, from heaven, from the Father. That's going to be good as well. I'd like to thank my dear sister Lisa Thomas, for giving me a very powerful posting on Facebook, encouraging me to look a little deeper into the nataf. And that's what we all would like to see, because the Word tells us we prophesy in part. So there's no one person that's going to prophesy you in full detail. We prophesy in part. So when we bring the prophetic utterance together, then it presents the perfect picture for the kingdom. Okay? Hallelujah. All right. We also went over 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse 9, right? It says in the word, before time in Yashariel, when a man went to inquire of Yahuwah, thus he spake, come and let us go to the Rohe, for he that is now called a Nevi was before time called a Rohe. So here it is. It talks to us about Samuel. This is Saul. He's looking for the seer. He's looking for Samuel. So that he can be what? So he could be anointed as king of Yashariel. Okay, so here it is. Even the servant that was with Saul, he even knew that he had to take a prophet's reward to the prophet. Go back to verse 8. It says, and the servant answered Saul again and said, behold, I have here at hand the fourth part of a shekel of silver. That will I give to the what? To the man of Yah to tell us our way. So you get a lot of people, and it happens a lot on social networks. Hey, tell me what the Father is telling you about me this season. A lot of times I'm like, look, I don't see nothing. Okay, keeping it real, because a lot of people are not going to their leaders and they're going to other people. You need to go to your back to your spiritual covering and ask them, get permission from them. So you see a lot of people doing things reckless when they try to speak to a prophet or a seer. Okay, so it lets us know the difference right there in that scripture, the prophet and the seer. That lets us know that all seers are prophets, but all prophets cannot be seers. Okay, hallelujah. We looked, we also looked inside of Jeremiah chapter number 1, right? We went there and we saw that the Father was showing Jeremiah training, spiritual training. I feel that in every particular apostolic house, or it should be in your church, there should be a school of prophets that is set up. Train them. No, you can't give them. No man can ordain you to be a prophet. That can't happen. Only the Father does that. Why? Because we read it right here, Jeremiah chapter 1, when the Father tells the word of the Lord, thank you, Holy Ghost, when the word came unto Jeremiah, which is the Messiah, he came unto him telling him, before I knew thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a what? A Nevi unto the nations. So there it is. He speaks to Jeremiah as a child and lets him know that he is already ordained. He did not need man to do it. He was already ordained to be a Nevi or a Raha, a seer or a prophet. Then he says in verse 6, then said I, ah, Elohim Yahuwah, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Elohim, but Yah said unto me, say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. It lets us also know, okay, that when, you know, you can't just go up to anybody. You must be sent by the Father to speak to an individual or to a nation. And you have a lot of people who are speaking too much, okay, about what they're hearing in the, what, according to the spirit of error. And you got people with these long on, these 1 hour prophecies. Come on now, that, you know, the prophet doesn't talk that much. That's another rule of thumb right there. The prophet or the seer really don't speak too much unless they're being led by the Holy Ghost to speak, or the Ruach HaKodesh. Okay. Let's continue. It says, be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, says Yahuwah. Okay, so this also lets us know right here, you must speak with boldness and with confidence as to what the Holy Ghost is speaking through you about. Okay, a lot of people, don't understand that the Father not only watches what you do say to people, but also what you don't say when the Holy Ghost have told you to say something. And please understand, the Father is with you whenever you deliver the word to the people. So no fear. Fear is eliminated. Okay, you cannot be a prophet that's operating in fear, because you should not have the spirit of fear, but a power of love and of a sound mind. Here we go. Verse 9, it says, then Elohim put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, behold, I put my words in thy mouth. So that also lets us know that your mouth should be anointed. I'm not saying that you should take some kind of oil and you just rub it all on your lips. That's not what I'm talking about. Your words should speak the word of Yah. You should be having the word coming out of your mouth probably at all times. Hallelujah. You should be speaking blessings and not curses. Okay. So the words that you speak should be from the Father via the Holy Ghost. Then it tells us in the next scripture, it says, see, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant. Well, that sounds like the responsibility of the prophet, right? You're going to root out sin. You're going to, take out things that should not be into the house of Yah. And you're going to pull down strongholds. Okay, you're going to be able to destroy things, destroy the imaginations. Okay, throw them down, cast them down. You are to build and to edify the spirits of those souls who are in the congregation and plant the word of Yah. The sower sows the word. So you are to plant them, plant the seeds, plant the word of Yah. He will give you the seed to plant it to them. Hallelujah. Next verse, he tests Yehemiah, and he says, what seest thou? And he said, I see a rod of an almond tree. Then said the Lord unto me, thou hast seen well, for I will haste my word to perform it. Here it is. Now, the word of the Lord, that is the Messiah, Yahusha, here it is. He came unto him, and he asked him, what did he see? There's a testing. Okay, before you can prophesy to anybody else, you need to be prophetically speaking to yourself to make sure that things manifest in your life first. You have a lot of prophets who have the representation but no manifestation. They speak a lot, but nothing is not manifested. Okay, so that is exactly what that means right there. And then he came unto him a second time. He asked him, what do you see? I see a teething pot. It's facing toward the north. Then he tells him that an evil. So that lets us know that the seer is able to see when trouble arises in your congregation, in your family, whatever the case may be, whatever he speaks about, he or she is able to detect what is going to take place. So that's warning, okay? And we read in the word that pride comes before destruction. Okay. Just to go over what we went over, that's what we did with part number one. Okay, now we got that out of the way. Let's go into part number two about the Raha and the Nevi on this evening. Those of you who are just coming in, welcome to Talk, Teach, and Testify Ministries. I am your brother. I'm your Aki in Yah. My name is Apostle or Brother. I like to be called Brother Rinaldo Wade. This evening, we're going to be speaking about part two of the Raha, or the seer, and the Nevi, which is the prophet. What is the difference? What are the characteristics of the seer and of the prophet? We went over that, and now we're about to shift into scripture. Okay, the first scripture that I would like to go over with you is going to come from 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles chapter number 29 and verse number 29 and 30. Okay, may the Lord have a blessing upon the reader, hearer, and doer of his word. We're about to see how the seer and the prophet have to coexist with one another. We see that because even the Messiah himself was the prophet and the seer. Okay, he was able to see the things way, I mean, he was able to see what was going to happen during the tribulation and the millennium, if you will, about him becoming to sit on the throne of the Most High. Okay, so we're going to go over how do these two can coexist with one another. 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 29 says, "Now the acts of David, the king, the Aleph and the Tav, which means the first and last, behold, they are written in the book of Samuel the seer." Uh-oh, y'all see that right there? Samuel the seer. He was able to see things, right? Okay, he's the Raha. And in the book of Nathan, the Nevi, he was the prophet. And in the book of Gad, the Raha. So he was also a seer. With all his reign and his might and the times that went over him and over Yashariah and over all the kingdoms of the countries. So here it is. It lets us know, first of all, that there are books missing, right? Out of the word of Yah, right? Did y'all catch that there? It says the book of Nathan, the Nevi. So there should be a book of Nathan. And these particular books will be revealed in time. But that is in the scriptures. I believe it's in the book of Yashayahu, the book of Isaiah. So there is a book of Nathan, the prophet. And there's another book, the book of Gad, the seer. These are spoken about the acts of David, of the king, the beloved king of Yashariah. Okay, so that lets us know that these two were able to coexist with one another. They served in King David's court. Now, there's another seer that was not mentioned in that particular scripture. There was a seer and a prophet. We're going to read in 2 Chronicles 29. How about that? Isn't that something? We read 1 Chronicles chapter 29 and we see David and his two, his prophet and seers. And then when you go over to 2 Chronicles chapter 29, I believe it's verse 30. And it says, "Moreover, Hezekiah the king and the princes commanded the Levites to sing praises unto Yahuwah with the words of David and of," there you have it right there, Hasaphath, the seer, the Rohe, the Raha. Okay, so people might pronounce that as Asap or Asaph with the H, but it's Asaph. Okay, so he was a Raha. He was the seer for King Hezekiah or Hezekiah-u. Then when you go to 2 Kings chapter 20, verse 1, it lets you know who his prophet was. And in those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And there it is, the Nevi. The Nevi, Yashayahu, or Isaiah, the son of Amos, or Amos, came to him and said unto him, "Thus says Yahuwah, set thy house in order, for thou shalt die and not live." Okay, y'all see that right there? You see how the prophet or the Nevi was bringing Hezekiah the news, telling him to set his house in order, or else he was going to die. Now, I'm not saying that those of you who are learning and you're going through training and the prophetic, just go around and just start speaking death to people. You know, that's not what I'm talking about here. But when you are led by the Spirit of Yah, he gives Hezekiah a warning. Yahshayahu tells Hezekiah, set thy house in order. These are the things that needs to be said. Remember, we was talking about what the prophet does. It gives you a warning because of that person or that individual operating in disobedience. Now, we see a lot of prophets in the word of Yah speaking to kings, and kings are over nations. You got a lot of fly-by-night prophets, if you will. They're not trying to speak to nations. They're just trying to get paid. They're becoming prophets. Looking for the profit. Looking for the cash money. It's not about that. It is all doing the thing. It's to edify the body. It's for the perfection of the saints. It is for the work of the ministry. That's what the prophet, as well as the other fourfold ministry, which is when you add that up, that's the fivefold ministry. That prophet includes the seer. Okay, we see that. So, I really feel when we go back to 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse 9, that Samuel was, translating, from functioning as a seer to functioning as a prophet. Like I stated before, all seers are prophets. So here it is. He was fulfilling both the functions. And I'm talking about Samuel here. He was becoming a prophet and a seer. You can do that. So when we just got through reading from 1 Chronicles 29:29, now, catch the revelation here, okay? Let's look at this. According to the text, and I'm talking from the Hebraic text, it says, indeed, let's go back to first, because I don't want to lose nobody. Let's go back to 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 29. Catch the revelation here. It says, now the acts of David, the king, the Aleph and the Tav, behold, they are written in the book of Samuel. Now, catch the revelation right here. The Hebraic text right there, he calls him Diraha. Okay, so he was able to have a perception, a visual perception. He was selected by Yah, okay, to see things. Okay, let's continue to read. And then it says in the book of Nathan, the Nevi, the prophet, and in the book of Gad. Now, here it is right here, because this is where it switches up at, right here. It calls him the Koze. Okay, so Strong Concordance number 7200. It was used to describe Samuel because he was operating as a prophet and a seer. So he was able, hallelujah, to see things visible. He was able to receive a general word with a visual perception from Yah. So that means he was operating as a prophet and a seer. Okay? And as for the other prophet, which is Gad, Gad was just a seer because he had a focus with a visual component only. He received a communication visually from Yah. Okay, you see how that works out? So the Raha, he or she is able to receive prophecy, audible and visual. Thank you. So you could do it audio and visual. That is what a Raha is. It's he or she is able to see and hear. Okay? Whereas the the Koze can just see visions, can just see things. Okay, another example of a Raha that was operating both as a seer and as a prophet was Jeremiah, because he was able to see and hear the word of Yah. Sometimes you just have seers. Watch this. Can you believe it or not? It is in the word of Yah that David had seers as musicians. You see, so there were people. Watch this. 1 Chronicles chapter 25. This is powerful here. 1 Chronicles chapter 25. Hallelujah. You are exactly right. I'm just getting a message from Sister Thomas, Prophet Thomas. 1 Chronicles chapter 25. Verse 1, go with me. Watch this. Watch this. Catch the revelation. It says, moreover, David and the captain of the host separated to the service of the sons of Asaph and of Heman and of Yadodhon, who should prophesy with harps. Come on, somebody. I know somebody felt that right there. With harps, with psalmistries, and with cymbals, and the number of the workmen according to their service was. So here it is. It lists all of the people that prophesied with the harps, that prophesied with the cymbals. They gave thanks and praises to Yah. They were able to become seers in the praise and worship. They were able to see musical notes from heaven, and they played according to what they saw in heaven. That's why you hear a lot of times people, you know, the praise and worship be so elevated. They're able to see the notes of Yah, and it sounds heavenly. Okay, y'all receiving this? It says in verse 5, all these were the sons of Heman, the king's seer, and the words of Yah to lift up the horn. And Yah gave to Haman 14 sons and 3 daughters. All these were under the hands of their father, of their Abba, for song in the what? In the Bethel of Yahuwah, in the house of Yah, with cymbals, psalmistries, and harps, for the service of the house of Yah. Okay, y'all see that there? So that's very powerful right there. The master musicians for King David are listed right here in 1 Chronicles chapter 25. So catch the revelation. So there are some people who are in the music, they have the musical gifts from the Father. And once they're operating under the unction of the Holy Ghost, they are able to become musical seers, musicians with the seer gifts from the Father. That's powerful there, right? That's awesome right there. Okay, I just wanted to show you that this evening. Now, let's look at some more characteristics and differences between the prophet and the seer. Then we're going to look at Samuel and Gad's experiences. We're going to compare the two. We're going to look at how Samuel was able to have revelation with his experiences and how it was more broader than God's. That's powerful. Thank you so much about this, sister. Watch this. Go with me. Before we go into that, look at verse 7 of 1 Chronicles chapter 25. It says, so the number of them with their brethren that were instructed in the songs, you see that in the Psalms or the Tahilia of Yahuwah, even all that were cunning were 204 and 8. Okay, you know the score means 20. 20 times 4 is 80. 288. What a powerful orchestra from heaven, if you will, that was there. Very powerful. 288. They were instructed in the songs of Yahuwah. All of them were cunning. Everybody was very crafty in their gifts. And I'm not talking about crafty in the negative sense. I'm talking about they were very gifted, very talented. I bet you that was some beautiful music there. Hallelujah. And then especially with them becoming seers. Okay. In the prophetic, okay, I'm going to bring up some differences between, some more between prophecy and the seer. The prophetic is about impartation. Okay, let me go ahead and say that one more time. Okay, here we go. The prophetic, it must be an impartation. Now, I'm not talking about with the hands, not with the laying on of hands. Okay? Remember, we talked about Nebi. Or Nevim. Nevim is more than one prophet. It's connected with it's connected with being under the direct supernatural influence of the Holy Ghost. Because the prophet represents the mouthpiece of Yah. They verbally express their words. The Father, he verbalizes through the prophets as the Holy Ghost directs them. The Greek word is prophetia. Prophetia is spelled just like prophet, and then you just put E-I-A at the end of it. That's Greek right there, the prophetia. It means speaking forth the mind and the counsel of Yah. And the voice of Yahusha, or the word, and speaking to the congregation. Okay, let's say this again. Prophetia, it means speaking forth the mind and the counsel of Yah. And the voice of the Messiah, and speaking to the Kahal, Q-A-H-A-L, or that would be to the congregation of saints. It is to edify. That's the main purpose of the prophecy. The main purpose of the prophetic is to edify, to build up, to strengthen, to make more effective that individual. It also, you are supposed to exhort, to stimulate the spiritual mindset of that individual. You're not trying to, but what your word would do that comes from Yah, it strikes a match. It reignites their fire. It encourages them. It comforts them. Okay? That's what the prophet does. The seer can operate in the prophetic because the prophet lies in the distinctive real of the seer. Let me repeat this again. The prophet, the gift is in the particular and distinctive real of the seer. Meaning what? Remember we talked about how all true seers are prophets, but not all prophets are seers. Okay, watch this. Here we go. Because I want to take my time with this. Raha, or Rohe, the word seer, it describes a particular type of prophet who receives prophetic revelation and impartation. Remember, we was talking about the Chose, which is just, that's the seer. They just gaze or to perceive or to see a vision. But the Raha can operate as both the prophet and the seer. The Chose is a beholder in vision, and they will be, if you will, like a gazer, if you will. They look up to the heavens, and they in the spirit realm, and they're able to see visions from the Father. This is probably what Yahyahu was operating in as at first, or Jeremiah. And then it should be now a little clearer, and I'm talking about the prophetic revelation, is it is expired as hearing, why a seer is visual. So the prophetic is inspired by the hearing, while the raha is inspired by the visual. Watch this. A nevi or a prophet, it represents the communicative dimension of Yah, while the raha is the receptive dimension of Yah. Okay, let me bring this back, and then I want to break it down what this means. The prophet is the communicative dimension of Yah. The prophet talks to the Father. First of all, the word must come to the prophet, and then the prophet is speaking back to the Father. You know, this is in communication with the Holy Ghost. It's the communicative dimension, while the seer is the receptive, is one way when it comes to the raha. With the prophet, it's a two-way, because it's a communication. You know, in order for you to have communication, you must have two particular individual things that are communicating with one another. When the seer just receives, it's receptive. People who do not move in the raha gift, okay, I'm just talking about the ones who don't operate as a seer. They do not move in dreams, but nonetheless, they are very strong in their prophetic vessels at the same time. So people who are not quite trained in the raha gift, in the seer gift, they don't move in dreams, but they are very still strong in the prophetic. They can see angels, they can see demons and visions. Some people say that these particular individuals would be what, crazy, if you will. But if you've seen things in the spirit realm, you can see these things. But they do not have the capability or the capacity to encourage people spontaneously or verbally. So there are some people who just receive these visions, but they do not have the capacity to encourage people as they've seen these visions. Now, let's talk about the prophetic impartation, or the massa, which is spelled M-A-S-S-A. It refers to the hand of Yah that released the burden of the Lord. So here we go. Yahuwah deposits something that was not theirs before then. We carried the burden as a word commission from Yah. When he lays a burden upon us, okay, for a particular situation, we might carry this impartation for days, months, weeks, even sometimes years. Watch this. The Father gives us a supernatural enablement of grace. The Holy Ghost endowments us to prophecy, and we can now intercede in a way never before. So there is a what? There is a cost, counter cost, for the anointing of the prophet or for the seer. Because it's this burden that we carry, and it's this word that we have to commission, that we have to get out, and it comes from the Father. And he imparts for us. It may take days, weeks, months, or even years before you are able to release this prophetic utterance. So you have people who just doing it like Johnny on the spot. You know, sometimes it's not like that. The seer, Meanwhile, very highly anointed, very sensitive in the spirit realm. I repeat this again. The Raha is highly anointed and very sensitive in the spirit realm. The impartation comes after something. It comes sometimes after waiting. Constant meditations unto Yah. Some of you that is on this line, you have received an impartation waiting on the Lord, just waiting for a sign, waiting for a revelation. And it comes from constant meditations unto him. What this does, once he show you things, it brings healing, deliverance. It is a deliverance movement that takes place. Each movement has a different manifestation. Thank you so much, Evangelist. Let me bring that back one more time. The seer, I have to repeat this, highly anointed, very sensitive to the spirit of Yahuwah in the spirit realm. They're very sensitive. The impartation from the Father, from the apostle? No. From the prophet? No. From the Father. Comes after waiting long periods of meditations. It brings healing, deliverance. An example of someone who did that and operated in the Raha gift is Elisha. Why do you think he was able to see the chariot of fire to lift up Elijah or Eliyahu? I hope you catch the revelation right there. Prophecy in moderate day society in the congregation must be manifested in a revelation. I don't know how many times the Father wants me to repeat unto people, you cannot have manifestation unless you first have revelation. Revelation just basically means that the Father has to reveal himself unto you. There's no way that you could bring a prophecy with no revelation. Number two, once you receive the revelation from Yah, there must be an interpretation. You must be able to interpret what the Father has shown you. Too many people receiving dreams and can't interpret. Here's a very powerful example. When we talk about one of the sons of Yashariel, when we talk about Joseph, he was able to interpret his dreams. Correct. He was a seer. He was able to see things. Okay, you catch the revelation there? He was a Raha. He spoke in a prophetic too, by the way. So, you must receive the revelation. You must receive the interpretation as to what you saw. Not in the flesh, not you thinking, okay, this is what that means. But it must be an interpretation. That's why you need to have people who can bring forth interpretations of the tongues. That's in the word. And finally, there must be an application. You must apply what you saw into your everyday life. Revelation, interpretation, and application. These are the three-step process. For those who operate as a seer or a prophet, you must receive the revelation as to what was said unto you, as to what you saw. You must be able to interpret what was given unto you by the Father through the Holy Ghost, under the unction of the Holy Ghost, and then the application. It doesn't make sense if you can reveal things and interpret, but you're not applying it. Okay, hallelujah. Alrighty, finally, and then we're going to open up the lines. Those of you who have questions or concerns, you can press 1 on your telephone keypad. On this evening, we're talking about the difference between the seer, the Raha, or the Chose, or the Kose, and the Navim, or the Nevi, which is the prophet. Okay, Let's talk about the difference. Let's look at the word of Yah, okay? Because we can't just go basically based off of what Brother Wade has said. But let's look at the word of Yah. Let's look at the difference between Samuel and God. Gad is G-A-D. So Gad and Samuel. Let's look at the difference. Just to give you a particular background a little bit about Samuel. He had a very wide variety of revelational experiences, and they were probably broader than Gad's. He was gifted with his visions, his knowings, and his dreams. He transcended time and geographical locality to watch events that were occurring simultaneously, even outside of his immediate geographical location. He would know who was coming to his door even before the person even arrived. And you know how sometimes you might say, yeah, I bet you that's some such and such at the door. And then it's that person. And I'm not talking about based off of every day, you know, at 2 o'clock, you know, Susie is going to knock at the door. No, that's not the prophetic. And that's not, I'm talking about when you accurately, oh yeah, that must be somebody I ain't seen in 3 years. You know, that must be such and such. And then it's that person. Yeah, you very accurate. Okay. When you go to 1 Samuel, let's look at 1 Samuel chapter 4, chapter 12. 1 Samuel chapter 12. Here's a prime example. Verse 17. Remember, he said, is it not wheat harvest today? I will call upon Yahuwah, and he shall send thunder and rain, that ye may perceive and see. Uh-oh. Y'all see that right there? That ye may perceive and see that your wickedness is great, which ye have done in the sight of Yah, and asking you a king. So here it is. He was able to predict weather patterns. Right? No, I'm not calling him a meteorologist, but he would be, if you will, in the spirit realm of Yah. So he says, I will call upon Yahuwah, and he shall send thunder and rain, that ye may perceive and see that your wickedness is great. He's talking to Yashariel as they were asking for a king, which is Saul, which was King Saul. In contrast, when we look at Gad's revelational gifting, if you will, it wasn't quite as well documented like Samuel's. It is possible that he probably walked in the same level of the prophetic gifting. But there isn't really, really not that type of record when it comes to Gad. But when you look at Gad, I like this in 2 Samuel chapter 24. I did a little extensive study on Gad for a little bit. Here it is at verse 11. It says, for when David was up in the morning, the word of the Lord, here he comes again, Yahusha, it came upon the Nevi, God, Gad, who was David's seer. Y'all see that right there? So it sounds like to me he was probably operating in both the prophetic and in the seeing aspect of the gift, saying, go and say unto David, thus said Yah, I offer thee three things. Choose thee one of them, that I may do it unto thee. Okay, verse 13. Here we go. Watch this. So Gad said, or he came to David and told him and said unto him, what shall 7 years of famine come unto thee in thy land, or wilt thou flee 3 months before thy enemies, while they pursue thee? Or that there be 3 days pestilence in thy land. Now advise and see, you see that? what answer I shall return to him that sent me. Okay, y'all see that right there? And we saw what happened after that. There's a pestilence that came upon Yashariel from the morning till the time appointed for 3 days. So Gad, he was able to see it as well. He saw some things. He had saw that there was going to be 3 days pestilence. He said, now advise and see what answer. Okay, y'all see that there? Okay. He even arranged or helped, if you go to 2 Chronicles chapter number 9. 2 Chronicles 9. He was able to help with the Levitical music. Second Chronicles chapter number 9. I believe he went and helped King Solomon with the music. Or it might have been David. Let me double check just to make sure that we got this clear, because I don't want to give you any type of falsified information. Let me see. I believe it's in. I believe it is in 2 Chronicles. It's in 2 Chronicles chapter 29, and please excuse my error. 2 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 25. I don't know why I have 2 Chronicles 9, but it's 2 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 25. And it says, and he set the Levites in the house of the Lord with cymbals and with psalmistries and with harps, according to the commandment of David, and of Gad the king seer, and of Nathan the prophet. And so was the commandment of the Lord by his prophets. So he was able to help compose the music for the temple or for the house of Yah. So let's ask the question, and then we'll go ahead and close up, and then you can ask questions. Did people go to the seer more than to the prophet? And when we look at the Old Testament, we see that they took to seers more for direction. It was also common for them to bring the seer an offering for his livelihood. Remember, we read that as the servant of Saul was going to bring forth of the part of shekel of silver to Samuel. So there were several instances where the people went to the prophet for wisdom and direction from Yah. They still exist today, people. They still exist, the prophet and the seer. You just see a lot of false prophets and a lot of false seers. Let's go to the New Testament. How about that? Let's go to the Brit Kadasha. This is good right here. There's a couple of things that the Messiah said. John chapter 1, here's a good one. John chapter number 1, verse number 48. Remember when the word was talking to Nathaniel, and he said, before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Okay, so there it is right there. The Messiah was able to see him under a tree. Remember what he said in Luke chapter 10, verse 18. Remember, we have to understand that the good shepherd sees all. Here it is in verse 18. He says, and he said unto them, I beheld, hey, Satan. You see that? As lightning fell from heaven. He saw him fall from heaven. That's what that scripture means right there. A lot of people think by using touch that they will be qualified as a seer. Some people can touch something and then they can see a person's, you know, what's happening with them, or the Raha, like I said, is someone who can see open visions. The Kose, we'll go back to that. The Kose, it emphasizes a lot of spiritual apprehension from eternal visions. Like I stated, the prophet brings forth a word of inspiration. You don't see too many of the Rahas operating in that too much. They are, like I said, remember we went over the three stages of the prophetic. Remember we talked about the revelation, the dream or the vision itself that you received, or whatever you hear audibly from the Father. The second is the interpretation. What does the revelation mean? The interpretation might not come immediately, okay, people? They could come in increments. It could come over a period of time. You can see something, and then you can be like, wait a minute, I had that dream 2 weeks ago. Have any of you done that? You might say, man, that was the same dream that I had. That's why dreamers or seers, you need to write things down. You need to have your pad and paper, a pencil and an ink pen and pad with you at all times so you can write these things down. Okay, thirdly, the application. Like I said, sometimes it might happen immediately, or it could be a long time, a long-term type of thing. The Father is always going to reveal the meaning of the dream unto you. He's not going to just give you the vision without breaking it down. He always is going to reveal the meaning of your visions in your dreams. He wants you, once you receive the revelation, okay, this was happening with Yeremiah, he wants you to go back to him for the interpretation. People try to interpret with their own wisdom. Can't work, won't work. You have to go back to the Father and ask him, Father, what are you trying to show me here? Allow the Holy Ghost that is within you, the power that is within you, to bring forth that interpretation. He wants you to come to him for the 911. He wants you to come to him for the intel. And he even wants you to come to him to how to apply, to apply it to your life, the application. The whole spirit of the prophetic must be coming from him. All these three aspects, a lot of people might do they might receive the revelation, and then they do the interpretation on their own, and then they're looking for the application from him. It can't happen. You must let all three of these things operate in the spirit realm. You must allow the Holy Ghost to show you. Listen, none of us, and I repeat this, I mean extensively, nobody on this planet, nobody is going to be able to prophetically speak all things. There's not one soul that knows all things. Okay? He came and he's sitting at the right hand of the Father. That's the only one that was able to know all things. 1 Corinthians 13:9, it says, for we know in part and we what? Prophesy in part. Come on, somebody. So therefore, that eliminates all of that. We are a body. So he will give me one part. He may give you another part, another brother, a third part. And we got to come together. When we come together, we can see the full picture of the kingdom. He always wants us as a unit depending on him. We must want to see him more and more. We must be able to, Father, I seek your face. You must be able to want to get into his presence. Okay. Somebody might ask the question. We're going to wrap it up here, and then we're going to open up the lines. How does the Father communicate with you? He's going to speak to you differently than he'll speak to me. And of course, he always speaks to you in a language that you can understand. There's a lot of times that I heard like Hebraic sounds when he talks to me. And I have to, a lot of times translate it, or even I know what he is saying in the Hebraic. One particular scripture that I like to show you, or two of them that I like, Yeshayahu, or that would be Isaiah, chapter number 30. And would you say that Yeshayahu was definitely a seer and a prophet? He saw a lot of things. Verse number 21. It says, what? In thy ears shall hear word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, when ye turn to the right hand and when ye turn to the left. So he directs you with that peaceful voice, which tells you this is the way. Okay, that's one of the ways that you can hear his voice. Then faith comes by hearing, and hearing, there you go, by the word of Yah. There it is. Yeyamayahu, Jeremiah 32. This is another good scripture. Jeremiah 32. And it says in verse 6, the word of the Lord came to me. So that is in the, you know, that is Yahusha. Okay, go to verse 8, the latter part. Here it is. Yeyamayahu says, then I knew that this was the word of Yahuwah. You see that? So he knew that he was hearing from the voice of Yah. And that's one thing that people need to distinguish. They need to know the voice of Yah from the voice of error. Because the enemy will try to play, audible tricks. You ought to know the voice of Yah. If you don't ask him, ask the Father, Father, help me to know your voice. because there are a lot of people that don't understand or don't know the voice of Yah. Sometimes he might speak to you through the rain. I've heard, you know, you might hear little audibles. He might speak to you through thunder. As you're sleeping at night and you're hearing this thunder and you hear the voice of the Father. Okay, so I pray that this particular teaching, it helped you a little bit. One more thing that I'd like to say before we go ahead, I almost forgot to talk about Daniel. Definitely a prophet and a seer. He saw a lot of things. He had understanding in his visions and his dreams. He was a Raha. You can read that in Daniel chapter 1, verse 17. He had understanding in all visions and dreams. He was able to see a lot of things from the Father. So these are things that need to be taught in the body of believers. These are things that we need to we need to see a lot of these teachings. People don't understand the gifts because you have leaders who do not talk to an individual about their gifts. They don't care about it. They just care about their gifts. And that is how that particular ministry can get tore down. You must allow these shamars and watchmen who are seers and prophets. They must be in their positions, trained in the spirit realm, ready to go. They got to go through some type of fasting, knowing that word, living holy and sanctified. Some people just let some of these prophets who are not even holy, just let them operate, and they can contaminate the whole congregation. They bring them in from out of town. They just land on their hands on everybody. We got to be careful. I encourage you on tonight, if you do not know your gift in Yah, ask the Father to reveal your gift unto you. I pray in the name of Yah that the Holy Ghost will activate that gift. That's what the Holy Ghost does. The Ruach HaKodesh activates the gift that's in you. Just because somebody called you something don't mean that you should get hyped up and start prophesying to everybody. You need to go through training and ask the Father, Father, is this what you have created me to do? Or some people, if you know that you are a seer and you've been seeing things as a child or even up to now, Father, I got to be a seer because you have created me to be this way. And ask him to show you a sign that you are a seer and identify the things that you can see in the spirit realm. That don't mean that you could go and have your bishop go and ordain you. He can't do it anyway. He or she can ordain you. Only the Father has ordained you when it comes to gifts. Now, if you want to go into the office of a prophet, okay. I mean, of a, not of a prophet. Thank you, Holy Ghost. If you want to go into the office of a bishop, you know, hey, but as far as the office of a prophet, no. You must be born with that. Okay, people. So that is the teaching for today, the characteristics. Of a seer and a prophet. Those of you who have questions, you may go ahead and press 1 on your telephone keypad. I cannot wait to hear from you on tonight. If you have questions, concerns, or even suggestions as far as the seer and the prophet. Even if you are a seer, if you have any additional things that you would like to say on the air this evening, you can press 1 on your telephone keypad. Those of you who are listening from the chat room or from the internet, you can call in at area code 347-884-8468 is the number. And you also, now, we were talking about false prophets. There are also false seers, too. There are people that say, yeah, I see things, and, you know, you're looking at them like, man, I don't see that. Because you better believe the Father's going to show you first before he shows that particular prophet or seer. There's no way that he's going to just show that person and not you. Okay, let's go on to the lines this morning. Area code 216-848. Good evening. Layla Toff, you're on the air.
Good evening. This is Simone. How you doing?
I am blessed. Good evening, woman of Yah.
I am so glad that I actually called in. I haven't been feeling well. I have this, a flu viral thing going on. And it's funny that you said a lot of these things that I have experienced even as a little girl, and now that I'm an adult, I'm experiencing even more so of these things that you speak about. Lately, since I've been trying to get over this flu viral type thing, it's like God has been telling me to close my mouth for now. Silence is golden.
Yes.
So I've been sort of keeping my mouth closed, and I've been having a few of the friends that still, I guess, are considered my friends call and say, wow, you know, it's the thing you said, so-and-so and so-and-so thing the other day came out to be true. How did you know? Things of that nature. So I guess what I want to say is how can I put this? One of the girls that I talked to called me a psych, and I was kind of offended by that. And I told her, no, I'm not that, if that makes sense. I'm not that. To me, I don't believe in, you know, if God gives you something to use and you're using it for good, I don't believe in getting paid for that. And I don't know if that's right or wrong, but I see a lot of things. I feel a lot of things. I'm a loner most of the time now, that even as I become older, more things come to me. I've seen death. I've walked up to people and I told a lady that she was been praying and the check was in the mail. The lady saw me 2 weeks ago at the grocery store and told me I was correct. I can't explain these things to you, but I see a lot.
Wow.
And I get these dreams. Uh-huh. I've been in churches where I see different things in people's faces. I have people who instantly look at me when I go into a church and instantly take a dislike to me, but I see things in them that I don't like either. So it's like, you know, I see things, I see different shadows, I can feel things, I can pick up on lies, everything. It's the more that I've been laid off, because I currently have been laid off, I'm beginning to feel even more things going on. Like we talked about these false teachings and preaching, and my kids come in and my son mentioned something to me, and I told him, I said, no, that's a lie. And he'll look at me like, how did you know? He came in just before he went to his second job. I said, how did you know, Mom? And I just looked at him and I told him, I can't explain it to you, but it comes to me. I hear a voice that tells me that's a lie. And so I'm telling this lady that I'm not no psychic. I've been doing this ever since I was a little girl. My mom used to ask me questions before she passed away about different stuff, and I didn't know how I knew. And we were, you know, really active in church and things of that nature. And I guess what I'm trying to say is, how do you get to the point where I know I'm not no psychic, because the Bible talks about psychics. That's not a good thing.
No, that's not. You know, when you read the word and it talks about, remember how the medium was how Saul went to this particular psychic. Mm-hmm. Remember, and he was asking this particular psychic, you know, to contact Saul, to contact Samuel, you know, and here it is, you know, look, Samuel was gone, you know, he's resting and he's asleep, you know what I mean? So
mm-hmm.
here it is, he's trying to communicate to him out of the dead. That's what psychics does, you know, psychics,
right?
You know, that's what they do. You know what I mean? So psychics, you know, there's no psychics in the kingdom. It doesn't talk
right.
about, you know, it doesn't talk about no psychics in the kingdom. That's of the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so no, you know, don't listen to that. You know, that's no way. You can't do that. When you go to First Samuel chapter 28, and that's a good scripture. For you to read right there, you know, it talks about how, how he goes to the psychic, and how he was asking, hey, you know, why don't you bring me Samuel, you know, and
mm-hmm.
and here it is, Samuel is saying, you know. Wow, you know, why hast thou disquieted me to bring me up? And you know, Saul, because he could not hear the voice of Yah, he was like, I'm sorely distressed. Nobody won't answer me no more. No, not the prophets, not the dreams, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He said, make it unto me, what shall I do? So he said, you know, so you got people who, see, when you deal with psychics, you conjure up familiar spirits.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I mean? Because psychics mm-hmm. are, you know, psychics don't tap into the spirit realm of Yah. They're tapping into spiritual realms that they have no business tapping into.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times they can get hurt, you know, doing that, tapping
mm-hmm.
into, you know, unauthorized spirit realms and opening up different
mm-hmm.
portals. You even see people, watch this, have you ever heard of the people who are going through these they call them the astral. They do an astral worship or the astral projection.
Mm-hmm.
You ever heard of that? Is that they're trying to
yes.
have out of body experiences now?
Experiences, yes. Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
And when you do that, when you mm-hmm. tap into this to that afterlife type of thing, that's what happened.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with Saul and
mm-hmm.
with this particular person, this magician, you know. They tapped into, you know, they went into an out-of-body experience, and what it does, that soul leaves that physical body. Now, when it does that, you know, because it does that while you sleep at times,
mm-hmm.
the Father is protecting you, and the Father brings you up in heavenly places.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, oh, man, so, okay, go ahead.
I don't want to cut you off, but do you think that when people say things, when these people say they're psychic, so they're meditating out of verses of the Bible, and then they go ahead and give you a reading, as they call it, a reading. I guess, what's your viewpoint on that? Because they're actually, as they call themselves, light workers and things of that nature. And then once again, I'm telling the lady, that's not me. I guess I couldn't really explain it to her, because I guess her mind is so asphyxiated on the worldly, the new age type thing of it, if that makes sense too. I'm
right.
like, it's just things that instinctively come to me. It's not that I'm doing any particular ritual or anything. If you want to know something, I'm telling you. Now I guess if that makes sense.
What does make sense is that we need to rebuke this particular individual for speaking that into your life, because I really feel that, and me and a couple of people, you know, we were just communicating with one another, is that this particular individual is trying to plant a seed so that the spirit of manipulation would be upon you. And then what it does is that when that seed is planted inside of you, because it seems like to me in the spirit is worrying you a little bit, you know, about this psychic thing.
I guess, you know, why I'm sorry, the why it worries me is because I know I've been doing this a long time, you know, as a little girl when my mom was alive, and then coming up and I, you know, have my own children and stuff. So I think that's what bothers me, is that I'm not accepting that psychic part. I don't do things for money.
Okay.
I don't, you know, I listen to God's word. You know, I listen to God talk to me. I listen to what he tells me, because I know what the repercussions I can get from not listening. So I'm following God, not that other stuff. I'm not into that other stuff. I'm not into that, you know, that new age crap. Don't even come at me with that.
Okay. But
what bothers me is that I've been doing it so long that when I'm talking to sometimes my family and a few friends that I still have in a circle who really understands me and asks me a question, and how I just blurt out stuff, I don't know where this stuff is coming from. I've even quoted conversations. I don't know.
Well,
I'm
you know now it's coming from the Father. You know what I mean? He tries to show you things. And a lot of people, that, you know, that's what they do. They try to, you know, the enemy will have imps. He has imps to try to manipulate you. You know what I mean? To keep you from operating out of that gift. And, you know, it just bothers me, like I said, when the woman was saying, you know, wow, you a psychic for God. You know, that sounds like a double, that's a double negative. That sounds like an oxymoron.
Correct.
You see what I'm
Correct.
Saying? Because you
I'm not
you
trying to
put
straddle.
Those two together. Okay,
right,
because
I'm not trying to straddle both sides of the fence. I'm only on one team, and that's God's team. I'm not
that's
on that
it.
Other team.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
When she got to talking, and I'm like, okay, I just need to end this conversation, period. I'm not no psychic or nothing like that. You know, for a long time, people used to make me feel bad about things that I could feel and see, and the different things that I even told family that was coming, like the death of my mother and my grandmother and stuff like that. I saw this man, and sure enough, he was there. He came and got both of them.
Mm-hmm.
There's
okay.
Some things that I can see. I don't have a lot of, and when you talk about people touching you, I don't have a lot of people touching me, because I can feel things from that too. Their energy is what they call
right.
it, I guess.
Right, yeah.
But
that,
I can
that's
feel a lot
it,
of
yeah.
that.
Yeah, you can feel the energy in their, you can feel the energy in their, you know, their spirits as well. You can feel that, you know what I'm saying? So these are the gifts, you know, like I said, don't let nobody tell you or try to talk to you and to, that you're a psychic or you've gone through this thing. I know that you don't do that. I understand it. But then those type of people, you have to cut them off. You have to just shut them down.
Mm-hmm.
You may have to, you know, rebuke the spirit, you know, that's in them, that's trying to, you know, put this foolishness upon you. And like you said, you can't let nobody touch you. And I'm talking about not just with their hands, but with their words as well. Because
Correct.
Words, you know, because people are trying to speak curses over you. They do it. Sometimes they don't even know that they're doing it because of the spirit that's upon them or in them. So, you know, I mean, my word of advice is that just continue to seek counsel from the Father, because the Holy Ghost is going to teach you all things. And that, you know, like you said, you've been doing this since you was a child. So, you know, right off the rip, this is why you've been on the line tonight, so that you will know your gift as a seer. You see what I mean?
Right.
So, you know, you have to, you know, you have to edify your body. You have to build it up, so that you can operate more effectively as a seer for the kingdom. It's not just for you to just see things, okay, I know that, all right, thank you very much. And it's for it's for the kingdom. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, you know, so I just encourage you. You know, at times you're just going to have to go into a sabbatical or into a consecrated time period, so that these things can be loosed from you, because I don't like the feel of it. Right now I could just feel it in my spirit. My chest is like, feel like it's caving in a little bit. So I don't like the feel of it. I don't like, you know, what they say it, you know, towards you. But, you have these people who are doing this Wicca thing and these witchcraft and all of that, because they can't talk to the Father. So what they do, they try these other avenues. And you see a lot of pastors operating in witchcraft, you know, going through, new doctors and all that. I mean, it's happening. People don't understand. They're like, wow, I was healed, though, by him. They have to understand that the enemy has a false anointing. He has an anointing, too. because he could transform into an angel of light. So he can have an anointing too, but not the anointing of the Most High.
Right. And I remember recently we had an issue with a pastor here in Ohio, and somebody, one lady and I know we were talking, and she was like, "Oh, I don't believe that," and you know, she was just rattling on, and I was just listening to her, and I just said, "You know what?" I said, "You know when?" I said, "Yeah, we just got to pray for him." I said, "Because he did do it," and sure enough, a couple of days ago, he got on TV and said he really did do it, and everybody was so shocked. I'm like, and it was like, how did you know someone? And I just didn't say anything, but I felt it. I felt that this is what he was doing, you know. So I don't know. Lately, like I said, since I've been having this flu viral thing going on, it's like God has been telling me to shut your mouth. Don't talk to any too many, you know, don't talk to this, especially the one that said I was a psychic. I'm thinking, okay, I don't know where that came from, but
right.
I don't even talk to her at all lately. I say for the past 2 weeks now, I've been avoiding certain people, things of that nature, for a reason. And I keep saying silence is golden. My main thing is I'm following God. That's all I want to do, is just follow God and do his will and do what I'm supposed to do on that end. I don't care nothing about that other stuff. I'm not into that other stuff.
Mm-hmm. Okay, right. So just don't worry about it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So you're just going to need an impartation, if you will, because you have to, you know, you're starting to see the gift, but I feel with the impartation of the Holy Ghost, you know, and with you operate, and you probably have the Holy Ghost, but you're operating under the unction of it, the power of the mm-hmm. Holy Ghost, you'll start to see mm-hmm. things a whole lot more clear, and then the Father will be able to, you know, show you more things. But the main thing is, you don't need to be around people that talk like that. You know what I mean? Because
correct.
What they do, those mm-hmm. seeds try to choke the word. That's what the scripture says, that there are people who will try to put like weeds into, you know, or around that seed that the Father has already placed into you, and they will choke that out. And we need that gift operating in the kingdom of Yah. We need seers. We need people who can mm-hmm. see things in the spirit realm and able to help, you know, the profession of the saints for the work of the ministry and for the edifying of the body. So, you know, so I just encourage you, you know, just go, you know, you might have to go into a fast or a sabbatical, you know, train your body and edify your body so that you can use your gifts more. And like you said, silence is golden, you know. So,
yes,
like I said, a lot
of
prophets and seers don't talk too much. You know,
sure
a great example, mm-hmm. I'll tell you, is, and, you know, I just thank the Father for her. My grandmother was a seer. She was able to see things, and she was a woman of few words. And when she spoke it, it was like, you know, man, it sounded like you was in my bedroom, or man, you was in my house. So, you mm-hmm. know, so she was a woman of few words, but when she spoke, it had power, and it was the truth, mm-hmm. you know, and she was able to see things, you know, in our household. So, you know, I'm mm-hmm. telling you, so, you know, you just have to, you know, like I said, and the things that you will see might save someone's life, because I'm telling you, it saved minds, being connected to a seer. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I just encourage you to just sanctify, you know, yourself and get holy and get disconnected from those, you know, especially unbelievers, because you don't need those around
mm-hmm.
you, okay? Hang around believers and fellowship with kingdom citizens, not church folk, because church folks,
right.
you know, they think they holy and they so righteous anyhow. So you need to be around kingdom citizens, you know, who will help, you know, will talk to you and encourage you, you know, to continue to stay in that gift and to continue to stay in the sanctification of the Father, and most and more importantly, you know, continue to stay in the faith of the Father and knowing who you are and whose you are in the Father, mm-hmm. knowing your gift and exercising that gift only for the body of Christ. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
I pray that what I just said would, you know, make sense to you. And, you know, if you need to talk to me, you can always communicate, you know, with me through Facebook. You know how to contact me, and I even have your number. So, you know, I'll be able to talk to you more and counsel you more if needs be.
Okay. I appreciate
okay.
that. I was just, like I said, it really hit home for me. And at first I said, I started not to log on today. I don't know why. And then I said, no, I don't even know why I want, didn't even want to log on today. I said, because this is something I just really need to hear. And I'm glad I did, because I really did need to hear this.
Yes,
you know?
Ma'am.
So it really hit home.
Amen. Amen. May the Father continue to bless you. And I love you in spirit and in truth. And I know it's cold up there in Cleveland. You know, I'm from there. So,
It done warmed up. And believe me, it done warmed up to like 40-something.
Yeah.
And it feel like it's, yes, it's kind of warm. And where we turned the heat down to 75. So, yeah, compared to below zero here. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, well, stay encouraged. And I love you in spirit and in truth. And I will try to contact you if you would like for me to. You know, I'll do that, early, somewhere around tomorrow. And then we could talk more about it that way. And I can, encourage you and pray for you.
Okay, I appreciate that. Thank you.
You're welcome. Love you.
I love you too.
Okay. Shalom. Okay. Very, very powerful topic there. I'm glad that Sister Simone was able to come on the line, to speak. And a lot of times, a person when, they're just getting to know the Father, or it might be some kind of minor disconnect, and that's all the crack that the enemy needs in order for him to, try to persuade you or to deceive you away from your gift, and that's a no-no. Amen. So let's continue to pray for our sister Simone. Amen. Keep her in prayer. She's from Cleveland, Ohio. Continue to pray for her and lift her up in prayer. Okay. Thank you so much for that. Hallelujah. And I will be praying for her at the conclusion of the teaching. Area code 302-858. You are on the line. Good evening. How are you? Area code 302. Looks like you're from Delaware. Looks like Prophet Lambert. You're on the line. Good evening.
Yes, good evening. God bless you. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
God bless. God bless. I have two things tonight. Very interesting. Thank you for elaborating on the seer and the prophet.
Yes, ma'am.
You made a statement on the end about prophesying things that maybe the people are not aware of if it has not been confirmed in your spirit first.
Yes.
For us to be leery, I guess, of that. And to God be the glory, I walk in the office of the prophet. I seem to, when I prophesy sometime, I'm telling people things that they might not have heard first.
Okay.
But before it's done, God reveals himself. Okay, so
no prophet is just going to tell you that it's going to be destruction without the reasoning. You know what I'm saying? That you're going to say, well, the reason why this is happening is because nowhere in the word of Yah do we see that the prophet just went up to a particular individual and says, you know what, you're going to go into damnation just because. There's always going to be warning. It's always going to be a warning. The Father always correct. I mean, you could correct me if I'm wrong. There's always going to be a warning.
Well, my situation, like I said, I was able to see, I don't know. He shows me, let me give an example. People are sinning and maybe they're not aware. Well, they know that they are.
But yes.
I come first. They be looking at me like, how do you know? So I'll be able to say God is revealing. But unto the leaders, a lot of times I'm able to say different things transpiring, things going to happen, like
okay.
The one that God was saying prior, and they're like, no, that's not true. Then, like you said, then it happens.
Right.
Like she was now, saying, she's able to tell different things before they transpire.
Right. Now, I'm saying as far as because there's no way, that's what I was getting. Like, okay, there's no way that you can, tell someone that there, something is just going to happen unto them for no apparent reason. A lot of times the prophets, they even will tell you, what you did. They'll come out and tell you, if they're connected to Yah, they're going to tell you, you're going to tell them exactly what they did. You know what you did. You've done it last week, and you tell them what it is. You're able to tell them things that the Father, that only they know, and when you are able to do this, they know, oh, man, this got to be the Father talking to me. Because there are many times that I have seen people flow in the prophetic. And when they speak in the prophetic, they're able to tell what it is that that person did. And then they let them know, if you don't stop doing this, then this is what's going to happen. Now, if you do that's not what I'm talking about when I say to be leery of that. They need to be taking the warning from the prophet. That's not what I meant. What I meant was, and I like to clarify, what I meant was if a person just going to go up and tell you, oh, you're going to die in 2 weeks. You're going to be looking like, okay, and then that person walks away from you, because, there are people who are operating in the flesh, they're not operating in the spirit realm. Like I said, a lot of prophets, they let that person know, this is what you did to the Father. This is what you've done, in sin, and this is your demise. Now, if that's the case, okay, because there are prophets who could still speak like that. People be thinking that those days of the prophets are over because of the blood. No. The prophets still can operate as such. Right?
If I see unto them, I say, I see a move coming in your life. I see you moving. And they would say, no, God didn't tell me you move nowhere or this. And then next it transpired, take place. A lot of times people say, no, he ain't told me that.
Happened.
You understand?
Right. I understand.
So I'm just giving that's an example.
That's
just
people
quick to
right
say
there.
if I don't hear from it first, it ain't happening with me. And I'm like, well, God, you have used me several times to tell people stuff before it has transpired, and I keep getting the other week. Let me give an example. Me and the lady was on the van, and she worked for the YMCA. And I said, woman of God, I see you at the YMCA, but that's not where you're going to be. You're going to be in the school district. And she said, what? I ain't going to no school district. I work for the YMCA. I said, okay. But I see you get raised with a lot of children around you. I see you at a school. And maybe it was about 8 months later that she put something on my answer machine. She said, I don't work that job no more. She was singing a song. And she said, I just had to call you. You are so right.
Right.
I'm just trying to, when you say that, because I hear that quite a bit from people, the way God uses me, I'm a little different. I don't, you're going to be blessed. God gives me details
right
for people, and a lot of times he gives me details, either they become leery of me or, like you said, stay away from me, and that's probably why I'm not married or I'm not, whatever, I'm able to see, because I want to encourage the lady that just was on, because even when I was in the world, I don't know how to put it, because like you said, we were born with this, We were born with this. We was able to be a seer. We was able to be a prophet, but people would call me psychic back in the day, because even when numbers would come out, I was even able to say numbers. I was able to, I could tell the boyfriends that I had where he was at, what hotel he was at. I'm telling you, it was like,
okay.
Wow. It's like, what? So I've always had it, So people have called me psychics. I've been through all those. They even tried to say one time you're witches, and because you're able to see stuff. And I was like, no. God has always been able to warn me and tell. Like I said, before you come, people knock on the door. I love that when you said that.
Yes,
wow.
Right.
I remember when I was. I said, open the door. That woman get ready, come right up. And she knocked on my door. Everybody rang right in the back. How'd you know she was coming here? Because God
right
able to see, and He tells us. It's a total stranger, never been to my home before. I don't know her. She don't know me. And I said, that woman's getting ready to come up my steps. So I'll open that door and let her in. I have to discuss something with her. And I'm telling you, people can tell you God has used me mighty like that all my life. all my life. And I love it. I mean, I just love it. Angels appear before me and give me messages.
Right.
Say no one liked this season, but you get ready for the next season in your life. And I met angels in the parking lot. Things I've seen many probably want to see, but God has shown me, like I was telling you about Samuel. God said,
yes,
you know me with the spirit of Samuel. And I'm like, good Lord, you know. But I think it's a cost to pay.
Right,
it's definitely a cost
right.
to pay. And
right.
it might, like you said, like the woman of God was saying before me, it's a lonely walk, but it's a worth walk, you know.
Right. Right.
I have not looked back. I'm sorry. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I'm sorry. I'm not trying to discourage a person from listening to a prophet of Yah. You know, I'm not doing that. But you do have many false prophets. Who their words don't line up with the word of Yah. You know, first of all, their lives and they're not walking in the office of a prophet. You see what I'm saying? Like you are. You see, you walk in that office. You know, that means okay. I'm operating. I can speak. You know, prophetically when the Father tells me to do it. You know, and a lot of people, what they do is they, you know, a lot of people are leery of the prophet because here it is. They lay down, wait a minute. I don't, ain't nothing happening. And I tell people, first of all, you know, a lot of it is based on your faith. You know,
right,
that's
right.
First and foremost, it's that person's faith. The prophet already has the faith that it's going to happen because they're getting the word from Yah. But when that person can't receive it, you know what I mean? Then it, you know, it becomes a problem to them because, like you said, wait a minute, that's not going to be true. That's not going to happen, and that faith will fail them, you know, because they have the lack of it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, I do try to tell individuals, okay, seek counsel from the Father. You know, you go home and you pray about it. Father, is that your word? Is that really going to happen in my life? That's what I do. I go and ask the Father, okay, Father, are you going to, you know, do this? Are you going to do that? And some things I just know right off the bat because it doesn't line up with my life. You know, I'm like, that's not right. Like, because the Father, that's what I meant by that. I said, the Father didn't tell me that, you know, and it usually happens that the Father tells me, right, you know, that is not going to happen. That is not from me. You know, so, you know, he even says in his word, go ahead, I'm sorry.
We're just in such battle, being a prophet, prophetess, we're just in such a battle, even in the houses of God that we go to, like you said, amongst your own kin, amongst your own kind. And I find, like I said, I love when God allows me to travel. I have been to Philadelphia, Wilmington, you know, Baltimore. I can give you some different stories. You know, like I said, I understand the woman of God when she was just speaking. I just felt her, I tell you. I've been there, done that, you know, but God has proven me every time, you know. Every time God has proven me. And even till they have called me a false prophet that I fell before the face of the church. And I had seen one of the pastor's children having a baby. My pastor said, they're going to call you a false prophet because my son can't have no children. And he said, the Holy Ghost told me to tell you, he said, now you tell her this day. She will know. And I had to tell her. I said, God said, this day, you will know. Amen? And
amen.
I was telling you, and it was just really something, and I gave my gift up. I said, God, take it from me, you know, because it was just such a battle. And before it was over, now he has children, and all she said to me was, oh, wow, doesn't God work out miracles? You know, so I'm here to tell her, you know, just be about God's business. Totally be about his business. In spite of what you go through, there's many stripes there. But God will prove you, you know, who you are of being his. He gets the glory for every stripe, everything we're taking, we have taken, or we know we have taken. Because I just got a call today that I have a meeting on the 25th. I'm like, oh, Lord. Against the panel.
wow.
I said, okay, God, I don't go alone. Amen? It's
Amen.
More than me than with them. Amen?
Right.
It's more than me
right.
than with them. You know, and I said, well, Lord, it's like, oh, I know we go to churches, but God, I was like, are that where we're supposed to really be? Or are we really supposed to travel the land? Maybe some prophets might supposed to be in the house. but you got some travelers, and I think that's what the Lord's getting ready, so far as my ministry is concerned, I think I'm getting ready to hit the land. That's almost what it feels like. That's where I'm at.
Yeah, right, but you have some prophets who want to stay at home, but they are designed to hit the land. You see what I mean? And that can cause a conflict, you know, with the Father, because if he tells you to go out, that's what he did with Jeremiah. He told him he was going to be a prophet amongst nations. Okay,
right.
So if he called for you to go out and speak to nations, you know, there's no way you should be sitting up in somebody's house. You know, you need to be, doing the assignment of the Father to go out and speak to nations. You know, so you have some people who just settle for less when the Father has called you to do greater work. And that will in turn, the Father will get upset with that because you're not doing what he has told you to do. You know, so and you know, the Lord giveth and he taketh away.
Yes,
indeed. So I thank you so much for your words of encouragement. Very, very
encouraged.
Yes. Thank you so much for what you have spoke, and thank you for your encouraging words to Sister Simone. Sister Simone will probably, you know, she probably needed to hear that. And we just have to, I'm just gonna go ahead and pray for her. As we close out, so that way she could be strengthened in the Father.
Oh, yeah.
So thank you so much for iterating that, and I love you. Thank you so much, Prophet Lambert, for your job and your assignment in the kingdom of Yah. I thank you so much.
We pass the baton. God bless you.
Hallelujah. Shalom. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Anyone else that would like to speak, please press 1 on your telephone keypad. We are just about to run out of time. We're going to pray for Sister Simone just for a moment, and then we're going to go ahead and, we're going to go ahead and close out. We just have a few more callers that we have that I would like to allow to come on the air. I'm getting a call from Florida, area code 352-437. You're on the line. Good evening.
Oh, good afternoon.
Good evening. Good evening.
Good evening. Good evening. Praise God. It's Evangelist Renee.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank God for the word. Amen.
Hallelujah.
I just wanted to add to what I know about being a the seer or a prophet walking in a calling. He's also ordained us to be prayer warriors in the spirit. And all the things that he gives to us, even though he tells us, is not to be spoken prematurely, but for us to pray about it. Because, again, he works in moments and timing, and, sometimes it's not the time to speak it, just to pray so that person will be able to receive it when it's time.
Mm-hmm.
That's he's also showed me that we have to stay connected to the Word, so constantly being in the Word and seeking direction from the Word. Amen.
Very powerful. Amen. Very powerful that you said that. Like I said, I love when we, if you receive a word from the prophet or from the seer, you should automatically, go into a prayer, go into prayer mode. And like you said, seers, and prophets, they are definitely, especially the seer, definitely prayer warriors. I'm not so much would be, your seer, if you will, but I know from, from watching, like I said, how my grandmother operated. She was a warrior. She saw things and she was, warring in the spirit, if you will. So, you do have a lot of prophets and seers, who are warriors, very, very powerful statement that you stated there in regards to, the prayer warrior that comes out of the prophet and the seer, because I'm telling you, we need more of that in the body of believers. We need to have more of the prayers, coming out from the particular prophets and the seers. A lot of times in our congregation, we allow the prophet to pray, because they're the mouthpiece of Yah. You see what I mean? So, you know, the apostles, we step aside and we allow that particular prophet to pray and to see what's going on in the spirit realm, so we will know where we need to be as far as, you know, the praise and worship, whatever the case may be. You know, we need to, you know, get there and make sure that everybody is built up and is edified, you know. So, you know, like I said, very key points that you said as well. And I thank you so much for bringing that onto the line. And, you know, we're going to have to do another study in the future a little bit more as far as the prophet and the seer, because I see that a lot of people, it has opened up a lot of people's eyes. And you know, the congregation really don't identify the seers. They want a prophetic utterance all day, but they don't want nobody to see in the spirit realm what's going on.
No. Amen. I agree.
Amen. May Yah bless you. Thank you.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We're going to go ahead and say a short word of prayer, and then we're going to go ahead, because we're running out of time. We're going to pray for Sister Simone and anyone else that's seeing things in the spirit realm. People will try to discourage you out of your spiritual gift. We're going to rebuke that now in the name. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we thank you right now, Lord, for this word on tonight. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Heavenly Father, for the prayer warriors that are on this line, Lord, that we are coming together in unity, Father, in your name, Lord, on tonight. Lord, we pray for Sister Simone and others, Lord, who are being able, Heavenly Father, to identify their gifts. And Heavenly Father, there are people who are trying to get them to disconnect from you, Heavenly Father. We pray in the mighty name of Yahusha that we are going to bind up, and we're going to cast these particular demons that are trying to attack Sister Simone and other prophets and seers and anybody of the fivefold ministry. We're going to cast them into the lake of fire. We rebuke them right now. We plead for the blood of Yahusha. We apply the blood of Yahusha on this line and upon those, Heavenly Father, who are trying to disrupt your prophets and your seers. Heavenly Father, we pray right now, Lord, that the protection from the legions, your legions of angels, Lord, we pray that they will come down, Lord, to protect the seers, Lord, who you have established in the earthly realm. Heavenly Father, we pray right now, Lord, that we are asking, Lord, that they are edified, Lord, so that they can edify the body, that at Heavenly Father, they are perfectioning, Lord, in your spirit, so that Heavenly Father, so that they will speak a word, Lord, that it will be edified and it will manifest in the earthly realm. Heavenly Father, we pray that you continue to give them revelation, that you will give them interpretation and application. Heavenly Father, I thank you right now in the name of Yahusha, Lord, that all of these things are accomplished, Lord, according to your will and your purpose. It is for you, Lord. If you are to do so, Lord, it is of you, Lord, that you would do it, Lord. Lord, I pray, Lord, that our prayers are answered right now, Lord, on this line. I pray for each and every one, Lord, who needs, Lord, assistance, who needs the healing and the deliverance, physically, mentally, psychologically, even financially, that they are healed right now, Lord. Lord, we thank you. We praise you in advance right now that there's burdens being lifted off of the prophets and the seers on this line tonight. And Heavenly Father, we give you glory, honor, and praise, and we lift our hands up to you as we lift your name up. You are the I am that I am. All of these things that we do ask and pray in the name of Yahusha of Nazareth, we do ask and pray. Amen, amen, it is so, so be it. Hallelujah, praise Yah. Have you enjoyed the teaching on tonight? Hallelujah, I did, hallelujah. On tomorrow morning, 10 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time, 9 o'clock a.m. Central Standard Time, I will be bringing forth an encouraging word. It's time for you to launch into your destiny. You need to get ready, get set, and launch. Launch off into your destiny in 2014. A lot of people, they're speaking about this is their year, but they're not making a lot of noise. They're just talking. It's time to walk the walk and launch into your destiny. Hallelujah. Activate your right now faith. It is time for you. It's time for you to come out of your Adullam. It is time for you to, hallelujah, to subdue, to seize control as to what the Father has already gave you. You don't have to ask for nothing. That is already yours. Hallelujah. You just ask it to the Heavenly Father, and the Father will help you to obtain it under the unction of the Holy Ghost. So it's time for you, by your now faith, to launch into your destiny, into your kingdom destiny for 2014. Hallelujah. I'm so excited about that. Hallelujah. So in closing, I love you in spirit and in truth, and there's nothing that you can do except for you to do one thing, that is for you to love me back, because Yah is love, and those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. We thank Yah for the speakers on tonight, Prophet Sharon Lambert and the seer Simone. Let's continue to pray for our prophets and our seers, that the congregation will receive them so that they will speak only the wisdom, the knowledge, the understanding, the righteousness, and the true holiness which comes from Yah. Have a very blessed evening. And Yah, Laila Toph, which means good night. Shalom and shalom. I will see you in the morning. Love you.